Blog Talk Radio.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Jetstream Radio. This is episode 5, your show, your team. I am the one, the only, D.A. Osorio. Normally, this is the part where I actually introduce my co-host, the best in the world, Pauly Bruzzi. However, being married to a Patriots fan, he is now out with his mother-in-law for her birthday. Happy birthday to Pauly's mother-in-law. This is why you don't marry a Patriots fan, because they ruin your Monday night. With that said, tonight we're going to do things a little differently. I am actually joined and going to be joined during the show by four gentlemen who are incredibly smart, incredibly knowledgeable, and they represent different fan bases. And that's actually something different that we're going to do tonight, because normally we focus on the Jets, right? And while that's all well and good, I think it's important for us to understand what's going on around the league so that way we can be prepared for when we kick this thing off a week from Thursday with the Pittsburgh Steelers and the New England Patriots. So we're gonna jump right in, because I know a lot of people have fantasy drafts coming up. I have one tonight, actually, after this at 9 o'clock. Had one on Saturday. And first off, I'm gonna introduce my main man, Kev Lewis. Kev, are you there?
Yes, I am. What's going on?
There we go. Now, everybody, you all probably follow Kev at KLew24. He probably has detonated your mentions on one or two occasions and said something crazy. So understand that he is the guy responsible for the million fake retweets that you get whenever you say something crazy. Kev, I'm so glad that you could join me tonight on Jetstream Radio, man. Thank you very much.
No, but thank you for having me, man.
No, absolutely. So let's jump right into fantasy, man. I have the pleasure because Kev didn't win last year. I have the pleasure of being in the league with Kev. We had our draft on Saturday. It went well. Kev and I are kind of discussing some trades right now. But Kev, you also have a fantasy football blog that you run, and you've been doling out free fantasy advice. We really should start charging, is what we should do. But you've been doling out free fantasy advice.
I'm hoping to get that at some point. But yes.
No, yeah, we're gonna make it happen. We're gonna start charging. We're gonna set up a table in front of Dave and Buster's. You can come to see us instead of paying $5,000 to go see Matthew Berry up at White Plains. Who, right off the bat, give me your five sleepers, and I'm going to go right into sleepers, because you know that those guys can make or break your five guys that aren't being talked about right now that you think are going to have huge seasons fantasy-wise going forward.
Okay, let's start close to home. I don't know if he really qualifies as a sleeper anymore, but Chris Ivory. I think that secret has been let out of the bag, but still, I think he's a guy who could get you 1,200 yards. I don't know how many touchdowns he's going to score. I don't know how good our offense is going to be. But I think he's a guy who, if you get him in round 5 or round 6, you can look back at that later on like, hey, man, that really helped me win the league.
Okay.
Doug Martin is another one. I'm not a huge fan of Doug, but he looks better than what he had the last 2 years. He slimmed down a little bit. He looks faster. I'm guessing with Jameis on the field, they're going to have more opportunities to score, because, I mean, you can't get much worse than Josh McCown and whomever the hell else they had playing quarterback last year. So basically, they had the sisters of the blind throwing the ball around. So, but Doug Martin, and he's going in round 7 on average right now, round 6, excuse me, on average right now. That's not a bad value. Sam Bradford, I think Sam Bradford, yes, it's a big if he stays healthy. But the last 2 years of Chip Kelly, the Eagles quarterbacks have combined to finish 4th overall in that time frame. And Sam Bradford is the most talented quarterback that Chip has had. So do the math. I think if he plays 16 games, he's going to finish top 10 pretty easy. He might finish top 5. I don't think it's a stretch.
So you're thinking that if you get Bradford, let's say, because we'll have somebody on in a little bit who actually ended up taking Bradford as his quarter. So you're saying that if you take Bradford, let's say average draft for Bradford, what, round 8 or 9, that could turn out to be arguably the biggest steal of the draft if you get him in round 8, 9, or 10.
Yeah, and he stays healthy. Yeah, it's a big if. I get it. But if he stays healthy, that you're getting premium production out of a really late pick. Meanwhile, other people are picking the Peyton Mannings and the Drew Breeses 5-6 rounds earlier. You get Sam Bradford round 9, round 10. You're in good shape if he stays healthy.
Nice. Okay, so we have Chris Ivory, Doug Martin, Sam Bradford. Who's your last two sleepers?
Another sleeper. John Brown from the Cardinals.
Okay, from the Cardinals. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Last year when he was on the field with Palmer, before Palmer unfortunately tore his ACL, he was the most targeted receiver on the team, and he was the 25th best receiver in fantasy. Bruce Arians knows a thing or two about offense, and he's compared him to Antonio Brown. So take that for whatever it's worth.
Did.
I'm not saying it's going to be Antonio Brown, but if he can compare him to Antonio Brown, that must mean he has some ability. Larry Fitzgerald just called him the future not too long. I think it was today, as a matter of fact. He just called him the future of the squad. You're getting him pretty cheap. He's the 30th wide receiver off the board. I say you take him. You take him. He should give you back wide receiver 2 value, and he's going really late.
Nice. Okay, and give me one last sleeper for the people that are drafted tonight and over the next couple of days.
Tyler Eifert.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. He should be. You know, I'm asking Marvin Lewis and Andy Dalton to be competent, and I realize that is probably not wise, but he's 6'6". He ran a 4.640. He has no competition for targets, really, outside of A.J. Green. Gio Bernard and Hill are going to get their touches, too. But as far as pure pass catchers, he's the second best guy in that squad. And Jermaine Gresham is not there to take snaps from him anymore. I think an 850 yard, 6 or 7 touchdown season is not out of the question for Eifert. I think basically what Kelsey was last year, Eifert is this year. That's how I view it.
Nice. Okay. No, and I mean Eifert. It's funny. Eifert went undrafted in our draft this past Saturday. Which was actually kind
no,
of
he didn't.
Did you take him?
I took him. No, he didn't. I took him.
Of course.
That makes sense. Yeah, it does.
Who's one guy that's getting overdrafted? Like just one guy that you absolutely would not touch whatsoever?
LeSean McCoy, easy. LeSean McCoy.
Why McCoy? We know Rex and Roman are going to run the ball, so why LeSean?
But how effectively is the question.
Okay.
I will say that Tyrod Taylor being the quarterback is good for his prospects. Because we know what mobile quarterbacks do for running backs as far as the space that they're allowed, the lanes that they get out of it. I get that. But, he sucked last year. And that was with Chip Kelly. Better offense, more plays, more opportunities. He's going to a team with a worse line, worse supporting cast members, worse coaching. I just don't see how he's going to live up. He's going on average, number 15 now. I don't see how he's gonna live up to that. And there are other options there that make more sense than him. Like if he's sitting there and Justin Forsett is sitting there, I get that Forsett is a journeyman, and he's had one really good year. But I'm taking Forsett. He's in better surroundings. And how many touchdowns are the Bills really gonna score? You know what I mean? How many touchdowns are they gonna score? If McCoy gets 10 touchdowns, that'd be the shock of the century. So
yeah, that situation in Buffalo is really interesting to watch because you look, the press came out today and announced that Tyrod Taylor is starting quarterback. And for me, I would have gone with E.J. Manuel. I think E.J. Manuel showed more in the preseason than Tyrod Taylor, but I get why you go with Taylor. I understand why Rex went with him. But it's going to be interesting to watch because the Bills have 5 running backs. They have McCoy, they have Carlos Williams, they have Bryce Brown, they have Jerome Felton, who they just paid a ton of money for. He's a fullback, but he gets a lot of carries as it is. And they just cut Fred Jackson, but I'm willing to bet Rex adds another running back. So how many opportunities are there really going to be for McCoy? Is he going to be a 30-carry back? I don't think so. I think one of the things that needs to be touched on with McCoy is that Frank Gore has really, really good hands, and Greg Roman phased out that part of Frank Gore's game.
Great
he stopped
point.
Using him in the passing game. So
great point.
McCoy – who has excellent hands. I can see that a lot of people taking him, thinking he's going to duplicate a lot of the numbers that he duplicated in Chip Kelly's system. He's not going to get the amount of receptions, the amount of targets that he got last year. And that's the reason why I'm lower on LeSean McCoy, and hence why I agree with you. Who's one guy who you would absolutely draft, no problem? We got the guy that you would stay away from, LeSean McCoy. Who's a guy that and don't give me Aaron Rodgers, because I know you. I think Aaron Rodgers
are we talking early, or are we talking about like the less obvious people?
We're talking about the less obvious people, because listen, Aaron Rodgers is going to put up his numbers whether it be you and three kids from the wide receiver. So who do you have? Someone who's unknown, who you can see putting up numbers that you absolutely have to have.
That's a good question. I'm gonna go with Allen Robinson. I don't think he's necessarily on the radar like that. I don't think he's off it either, but I don't think people are necessarily sold on him. My thing with Robinson is, and I realize that I'm betting on Blake Bortles taking a step forward.
You are.
But you look at a little bit. I'm not saying he's going to be good. I just need him to be somewhat semi-competent, you know what I mean? And the Jaguars are going to be trailing a lot, I assume. There's going to be a lot of throws. My thing with Robinson is he's clearly the number one target there, especially with the news that Julius is going to miss a month. He's the number one target there. He doesn't have much competition for touches. It's a bad team. They're going to be losing. The quarterback's not afraid to throw the ball deep down the field. And Robinson reminds me of Dez Bryant. Like, I'm not saying he's as good. I think he's a broke man's Dez Bryant. Like, that's why I think Robinson's one of those guys where, you know, guys who you take in fantasy and you don't worry about their surroundings because their talent is just so far above everything that's around them. I think Robinson is headed in that direction. So I think he's going to go for, let's say, 1,100 yards and 6 or 7 touchdowns.
And he'll outproduce his draft position because we got him going. I mean, average draft position for him is you're talking about late. He's after round 6 or 7, and he may produce that. He may outproduce guys that are going much, much earlier than he is, for sure.
Yeah, exactly.
Awesome. Kev, thank you so much for joining me tonight. You're a Jets fan. Give me prediction for the season. Give me something to look forward to now that we got Fitzmagic for the first month of the season until we get to the bye at least.
Oh God, why are we doing it? My night was going so well before you mentioned that Fitzmagic. that's a really terrible nickname, by the way. But as far as predictions for the season, I think the Jets go around 8-8. I think that's fair. I think the Jets, for the first time in a while, have a competent, well-built offense. The talent's there, you know, besides quarterback, obviously. I think they're about a league-average offense, which should win us 8 to 9 games. The defense kind of concerned me. I'm actually at a point where the defense concerned me more than the offense. It's odd.
Interesting.
The Copels, Davis, and Pryor are going to have large roles in this defense, and they all stink right now, at least.
Right.
It's tough. It's tough to watch them, but I think the Jets will be watchable at the very bare minimum. Last year they were wretched. The year before that they were wretched. This year they should be pretty watchable. They'll be competitive. I think they'll take one from the Patriots.
Okay.
So I think it'll be all right. They have an outside shot at the playoffs if a lot of things go right. I don't think it's going to be a bad season for us.
Nice. All right. So tell everybody where to read your fantasy stuff and how to follow you on Twitter.
Okay. Well, you can read it at the Fantasy Breakdown. .wordpress.com. That's where you can read my stuff.
There you go.
And
if
you can
follow him on Twitter,
@KLEW24. Just don't say nothing silly around me.
Yes, because he will have 111 retweets saying how you think Jamarcus Russell is probably the future of some team, and he's going to come back in 2017.
Wow, Jamarcus Russell. Wow. That was cool. Wow, I haven't heard that one in years. Wow.
There you go. But thanks a lot, Kev. I appreciate it, man. Thank you for joining me tonight.
No problem, man. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. All right, so that is our first quarter, and we're now going to jump into our second quarter. And Kev's prediction for the Jets actually leads me into the perfect segue, because now we're going to break down the Jets and the Giants preseason game from Saturday. And I couldn't really do it by myself, so I reached out to a Giants fan and a very neutral 49ers fan who hates Eli Manning with a passion. And so I needed that kind of – first off, I'm going to introduce both of them to you right now. One of them is my brother, Chris Osorio. And the other one is my best friend of 19 years and counting now, Robin Sinclair. Fellas, say what's up to everybody.
What's going on, guys?
What's up, people? What's up?
Hey.
There we go. There we go. So we just had Kev kick off the first quarter with fantasy advice. Anything that he said that kind of shocked you guys a little bit or had you guys making the screw face, like anything that you guys just did not agree with?
The Bradford thing was the Sam Bradford thing he was right about. But
okay.
When did I draft Bradford? Was it around 7, 8?
Yeah. You took him around 8 or 9, which is I mean good value according to him. He said that he's gonna outperform a lot of the guys that get taken in front of him.
It's hit or miss with Bradford, like we all know that. And the Doug Martin, no, I think he's done.
No, Doug Martin.
No.
To jump in on the Bradford point, I think it's interesting how a lot of people are banking on his health and often injured quarterback, right? In a system that has shown quarterbacks go down every year since Chip Kelly's been there. We're talking about Mike Vick, Nick Foles, and Mark Sanchez have all been injured in this system, and we expect Nick Foles to be able to hold up. So I think that's a very interesting a big if there. I think that Allen Robinson being a poor man's Dez Bryant. It's not even close.
That one kind of threw me off a little bit because I think Allen Robinson's good, but you guys know Dez Bryant's the best receiver in football, so to compare him, man, is bold. It's definitely bold out there. Chris, let's jump right into Giants. You've been saying this, and again, if you guys follow Chris at Chris Osorio on Twitter, you'll know that he's concerned about the Giants. He's been concerned about the Giants pretty much all off season. Saturday was supposed to be the dress rehearsal, the third preseason game. What did you think of the Giants now that you've seen them through 3 preseason games? And are you more concerned going into the regular season or less concerned?
Well, it's less concerned in the sense of the Giants, you can bank on the Giants every season being able to do one thing, and that's execute the game plan, right? Whether the game plan is flawed or whether it's not, that's a different conversation. But they will always execute the game plan. So they clearly had a plan to get Odell Beckham the ball on Saturday because he didn't have a catch the first 2 games. So they force-fed him the ball, which sometimes that's what you have to do. He got, I believe it was 5 targets. You're talking about 5 targets against Reeves. Right, so you're force feeding him the ball. You're going at him. You're trying to get him engaged. He made a heck of a catch on the offside, which he landed out of bounds. But good effort. So on that end, you take that away as it's preseason, so it wouldn't have counted anyway. But the Giants' defense is horrendous, and it's outside of the line, which is our most talented part of our defense. Our linebackers are very, very suspect. We're counting on John Beeson to be healthy. We've been down this road before. And we don't have any deep safety help. We have 2 cornerbacks who are pretty good cornerbacks in DRC and Prince, but our safeties are not only are they no good, there's no body because we don't have a single body healthy to play back there. So what I've been saying all offseason, we're talking about a 500 team at best, maybe 9 wins at best. And I think we hold them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the safety position, and Rob, you can feel free to chime in on this too, because the safety position is one of those things where the Seahawks and the Patriots proved last year just how valuable the safety position is. You got Earl Thomas, you got Cam Chancellor, you got Devin McCourty. The Saints gave a ton of money to Jarius Byrd. I mean, granted, you got hurt, but the safety position, especially now in this type of league, is valued more. Is the safety position the biggest question mark for the Giants to you, or do you think that exists elsewhere?
Linebackers.
It's linebackers.
You can hide a bad secondary with good pass rush. And you don't know what the pass rush for the Giants are going to be this year. They have no linebackers. JPP, we don't know where he's at right now. And other than, was it Jonathan Hankins, who's pretty good? He's pretty good. But other than him and Moore, I don't know other name from the Giants ring a bell.
And Moore is very inconsistent. Like he's a pure pass rusher. he's suspect against the run at some time, but you're talking about this kid will show off your screen maybe two or three plays a game, but he's playing 50 snaps.
Yeah,
so
true.
You don't know what you're going to get anymore. Hankins is definitely the best defensive lineman we have. I mean, our deep safeties are bad, but our linebackers are even worse because you don't know where our linebackers can our linebackers blitz? No. Can they cover? No. Can they play zone? No. Our linebackers can't do anything right now. Saquon Williams will be good when we don't know. And the kid that we got from USC, Kennard, will be good. We just don't know when.
But DRC and Prince, DRC and Prince, though, if you guys play, you're going to have to play a lot of man-to-man, a ton of man-to-man. But they can cover a lot. They can. Those guys are pretty good.
Yeah, the corners are going to be tasked. It's going to fall a lot on them early on, especially as the Giants figure out where their pass rush is going to come from, because you're talking about two guys in Prince and DRC. Prince started slow last year and came on towards the end of the year and showed exactly why he was taken in the first round. Because if you take a cornerback in the first round, you're taking him to be a shutdown guy. You're not taking him to be just another cornerback. You're taking him to be a shutdown guy. And he started to become that as the year went on. Dominic Rogers-Camardi, on the other hand, it was the flip. Like, he played better early on. And then as the season went on, he started to struggle a little bit more.
You know,
the Giants,
when he plays against elite competition, he's not that good.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's a concern, obviously, because you're in a division where you're taking on Dez Bryant, right, twice a year. You're facing Garcon and Jackson twice a year. Like, there's no gimmies for them, is more what I'm saying. Like you're not in a division, you're not in the AFC South where you met the Titans and the Texans or whatever twice a year, where the only guy you're facing is DeAndre Hopkins. You know what I'm saying? So it's I would worry about that. But for me, and this is even as a Jets fan, I look at it and I think as long as they have Eli, they have a shot, right? But we all know Eli needs to be kept upright. And Rob, you're a 49ers fan. We can go back to the NFC title game. The 49ers nearly killed them. They didn't get the job done, but they nearly killed them in that game. You have to keep them upright. And that offensive line worries me because they took Flowers in the first round. I think, and I've said it pretty much all offseason. I thought it was a reach taking him at that high. The offensive line has to keep him upright. Otherwise, it's going to be a very, very long season if they can't keep him upright or if they can't make holes for the running back.
The offensive line has done a much better job from the first preseason game to the third.
They're
playing better. They're pass protecting better. They're run blocking better. They're coming along, which is difficult to do considering all the injuries. So, and Eli has shown you he can win games with a bad offensive line as well. Eli's not standing tall in there. Eli will get down. He'll throw it away. He's not going to take a hit or an unnecessary hit. So I'm not as worried at the offensive line as some other people may suggest. Eric Flowers is looking really good. And some say it might have been a reach, but you took a really raw guy, very similar to when the Giants took JPP, however many years ago it was. A very, very raw guy. Coughlin knows how to coach these guys up. And he's coaching Eric Flowers up, and it's showing from week to week.
Okay. Right. I guess that's more where my concern. Now we go to the other side, and it could just be that the Jets defensive line is a bad matchup for the Giants offensive line because Flowers.
A bad matchup for a lot of people in the league.
I was gonna say more than 90% of the league.
Because even on the pick six by Cromartie, the reason it happened was because Eli had to step up and he faced pressure, and Cromartie jumped the route. You know what I'm saying? And so now going to that, like, you have a team with arguably one of the better defensive lines in football. And this is the first time in a long time that the Jets, because for a long time under Rex Ryan, the Jets either had strong cornerbacks and no defensive line or just a defensive line and no strong corners. It's the first time that they have both. What do you expect from the Jets defense? And especially considering the schedule, because remember, last year they ran a gauntlet of seven top 15 quarterbacks from like week three on, and now this year their schedule they get a last place schedule. What do you expect from their defense, especially?
I think first two or three games don't expect shutdown defense because you guys did sign Cromartie, Revis.
Right.
You know, the secondary is basically brand new, all new guys.
Right.
So the continuity isn't there yet, but I think after by week four, five, six, and then on. I think the Jets' defense is going to be special.
It's the transition, right?
Yeah, Todd Bowles plays a very aggressive defense. I remember in Arizona, blitzes a ton. it's like pretty much every third down he's blitzing. So Revis and Cromartie get ready to play man to man, pretty much the whole fourth quarter. And like
right.
I said, after the third game, it's going to be fine. But the first three, I see them giving up 20 points. But, you know, like 24, 20, you know, 26, but nothing crazy.
Because of the transition.
And I don't worry much about the Jets' defense at all in any facet of it. My only concern that I think that is going to end up hurting the defense, I think they're going to spend a lot of time on the field. Because I don't know. I mean, given the Jets put out a really good offensive performance against the Giants, but like we said earlier, our defense stinks. So that was pretty easy, and they made it look easy. Against, you know, better defenses and, you know, in real-life games, can the Jets' offense continue to get first down, continue to move the chains? I don't know if that's sustainable, and that worries me for the Jets' defense, having to spend a lot of time in the field, having to possibly short field for the opposing team. So I think that could come back and bite them.
Yeah, that's a concern for me as well, just because I think that, like, a guy like Brandon Marshall, he could theoretically finish with 100 catches for 600 yards, just because they don't have anything to stretch the field, right? They don't have anything right now to stretch the field. And so the concern is, if you're running dink and dunks all the time, and this is a concern that Rob, you brought up to me before, was a concern of the 49ers when they had Molden and Michael Crabtree as well. Like, if you don't have anything to stretch the field, if you don't have anything, any shot plays or anything like that, granted, He did. Fitzpatrick hit Decker with an 18-yard strike for the touchdown on Saturday. But again, he beat the safeties. Like, and that's where the Giants struggle with the safeties. Are you going to be able to do that consistently enough going forward to limit the amount of time that the defense has to spend on the field? That's a concern for me as well.
I don't think the Jets want to bomb it down the field, though. I think they want the 14 play 80-yard drive.
They should want it.
That's what they want. They don't want the 3-4 plays. They don't want to do what Philly does. They don't. You know what I mean? They want the long drive. They want to run the football. They want to make the game, you know, really slow and annoying. And again, you know, they got the Brandon Marshall. They signed Decker last year. You're thinking, oh, we're going to score points. No, it's not always the case. You know, like sometimes.
Can it be that this version of the New York Jets is last year's version of the San Francisco 49ers?
I don't know. I think the Jets are going to run the ball a lot more than people expect them to. And I think what happened with San Francisco, and again, if Fitzpatrick gives you what Kaepernick gave you last year, 17 late interceptions, over 60% completion percentage, then I'm pretty sure the Jets will take that. 17 touchdowns, the thing is, 17 touchdowns, it depends what you get elsewhere. Like, is Chris Ivory going over 1,000 and giving you 10 touchdowns? Because 17 touchdowns from a quarterback, that puts a lot of strain on your defense because you're not scoring. If that's last year's version of the 49ers, and again, I think Kaepernick played fine. If Fitzpatrick can give you that, I think you're all right, but it depends on what you're getting elsewhere. Because it's the interceptions. I don't even think so much as the touchdowns that would bother the Jets.
I agree.
It's the interceptions.
Are you
throwing interceptions in the fourth quarter when you're driving to tie the game? Are you throwing interceptions on your own side of the field, leading to short field for your defense? Because that gets exhausting. The Jets last year led the league in the shortest amount of times that their drives were. Each drive was 2 minutes and 30 seconds. You can't sustain an offense like that by only holding the ball for 2 minutes. And so the Jets are going to have to do a better job of that, because that's going to be key. You're going to be able to run the ball. They have enough good running backs. You're going to be able to run the ball. The offensive line has shown that they can get a push, but are you going to be able to put enough points on the board that your defense isn't exhausted? Even if you get, like, even like Robert said, if you get a 14-play, 80-yard drive, but you don't get points, at the very least, that's your defense on the side for 5-6 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So that is something to consider as well. You know what I'm saying? So I think those are probably
the
biggest things.
Yes, that's the name of the game for the offense.
Ball control and limit the mistake.
Do you remember how the Arizona Cardinals played after Carson Palmer got hurt when Drew Stanton was the quarterback?
They never turned the ball in.
And that was with Larry Fitz, you know, Larry Fitz, Michael Floyd, John Brown. Yeah.
Andre Ellison.
You know, kept the score within 17, 20 points, ran the ball, you know what I mean? And, you know, like I said, played aggressive defense, forced a ton of turnovers, and their offense just never turned the ball over, never. I see the Jets doing it. I think Fitzpatrick could do that. I really do.
All right, so before we get into the third quarter and transition to my man Connor, because you guys are going to stay on the 1-3, you guys back for around the league. But give me a prediction for for the Jets record and the Giants record as now that we've gone through three preseason games?
Whew.
You want to go first, Chris?
I'm going to stick to what I've been saying. I think the Jets are going to win five games. I think 5-11. I think their offensive woes are going to be too much. Plus, I think there's just a lot of teams on their schedule that are better than people think. And I think Todd Bowles is trying to build something from scratch. I think Rex Ryan left the team in a very unaccountable state of mind, and now he's getting accountability. So I think it's going to rub people the wrong way. So I have them at 5 wins. I have the Giants. I had them at about 8-8, 9-7 before. The more and more I look at them, I have them at about 6-10, 7-9, somewhere in that range. I don't think they can overcome how poor the back seven of their defense is. No matter how great your front four is, I don't think you're going to be able to overcome it.
Okay, what about you, Rob?
Okay, are we saying this with Geno coming back or Fitz playing the whole season?
That does matter.
All right, give me two. give me two predictions. Give me one with Fitzpatrick playing all 16 games, and give me one with Geno coming back after the bye.
Okay, if my boy Fritz, Mr. Harvard himself, plays 16, I think the Jets can actually win. And I know I'm going to get beat up for this. I think the Jets can win 10 games.
I know it
sounds crazy, but I think they can win 10 games with Ryan Fritz playing the whole season. Geno comes in, I see them going to it. Geno's out for first 4 weeks, right?
Yes, and then they have the bye when they come back after Miami, so they have
Geno
would have played 11 games.
So I see 2-2 at that point, and I could see Geno splitting the rest of the games halfway and going 8-8 the rest of the season.
Yeah, you're looking at 8-8. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I like that. All right, fellas, thank you very much. Don't hang up because I'm going to bring you guys back for around the league. Now, we're gonna kick off our third quarter, and this man, I don't think he needs an introduction. You guys all follow him at nyjdraft.com. He is my main man, Connor Rogers. Connor, what is up, brother?
What's going on, Dio? How you doing, man?
I'm good, man. Thank you for joining me for the third quarter. It's just a draft quarter. Now, guys, if you don't know, Connor is the go-to guy for all your draft questions, right? And we're talking about not only at NYJ Draft, but if you hit him up on Twitter, he'll answer everything. And especially now as we're about to kick off the college football season, and Connor did a ton of great work for Turn on the Jets. He is Team Dominican by trade. We've adopted him. He is one of us. He's an excellent wide receiver in flag football. So I'm really glad to have you on, brother. So let's jump right into it. Three preseason games in. Let's talk about the quarterbacks, Jameis Winston and Marcus Mariota. What have you thought of them so far through three preseason games?
Yeah, I think it's a lot of what we expected. The worst part about it is that Jameis is just under so much heat playing behind one of the worst offensive lines in football. And, you know, I understand what the Bucs are doing. They're moving in a new direction. They took two players early this year, and Ali Marpet and Donovan Smith. You know, they want to start both of them on this line right now. Starting Donovan Smith at left tackle is, you know, it's a lot to ask from the rookie out of Penn State. A lot of people felt he wasn't even ready to declare, and you could see it right now. Winston taking 7 sacks all preseason, 4 in the first half against Cleveland the other night. Now he's playing with an ankle sprain. You know, that's not what you want out of the number one overall pick, but he has looked good. He's a guy that can make plays. Sure, he's thrown 2 picks and hasn't tossed a touchdown yet, but he's been showing that intermediate arm strength, and, you know, he ran one in. He's looked good, and he's a guy that takes his chances. That's what he is. You know, a lot of people want to see him play kind of like how Andrew Luck does, where, you know, the supporting cast isn't always great, and Luck's is a lot better this year, obviously, but when he was a rookie and his second year, and those guys are going to take chances to make plays for their team, and sometimes they're going to turn the ball over. That's just how it goes, especially in a high-passing league. When you look at Mariota, it's been pretty good. This is a guy that drew comparisons to, you know, much more athletic Alex Smith, a guy that doesn't turn the ball over, pretty safe with the ball. And right away, of course, he throws a pick six in his first start. That's going to happen. You can't really put a lot of heat on him for that, especially in Tennessee where he has nothing around him right now. They're slowly building. I don't think Ken Wisenhunt is the right coach for him. Wisenhunt has never coached up a quarterback with his skill set. Hopefully he could change because it'd probably save his job, but I do think what we've seen out of Mariota is, you know, a couple of nice plays. When they get him on the move going outside, he can make just about any throw as good as anyone in the league probably with the raw talent. It's working through the pocket. And you look at, you know, I think it was the second game that he played in, he worked through the pocket beautifully in the red zone, and McCluster just dropped a wide-open touchdown. So he's looked pretty good, and these guys will only get sharper as, you know, the season wears on.
Yeah, one of the really good things that I think that they've done with Mariota, and I agree with you 100% about Wisdom, and I don't think Wisdom Hunt's going to be his coach after this season, because I think the Titans are going to realize that they need to get somebody in there who's willing to incorporate a lot of the things that he did at Oregon, and so I can see them moving in a different direction. But one of the things that Wisdom has done and that he kind of didn't do is they've allowed him to move the pocket, so they've gotten him in the move. They got him on rollout. They use him on bootleg, because what that does is it's easier for him to make that one read to then fire it off. On the pass to McCluster that you're talking about, that's exactly what they did. They moved the pocket for him, and McCluster just dropped it. So it's something that I think they're going to do a lot of going forward. I am concerned because, and what I think he has the better offensive line in front of him. Winston has the better receivers and the better running back. And so I think Winston is probably going to be able to produce more, but his offensive line might get him killed, whereas Mariota's probably going to have a ton of time, but he has nobody to throw it to. So it's really interesting. It's going to be interesting to watch both of their careers as they go forward. Who's been your biggest, most impressive rookie so far through the first three preseason games?
Just overall, a guy that I've really been impressed with, and I lost you there, Dio. A guy I really like
in college,
Quan Alexander out of LSU. You know, he's a player that was taken in the middle of the draft, a really fast linebacker, and he's already worked himself into a starting role there, has just made play after play. So he's been really impressive. It's good to see, you know, a guy like that, you know, he's a little undersized. He's probably around 6'2", probably in like the 235 range now, but it looks like he's put on a lot of weight since he's come into the league from the combine. So might even be bigger than that. And, you know, that's a Bucs defense that, you know, once again, not good last year, but the talent's there. They signed Altron Werner to be a solid corner for them. Levante David just got a huge contract. They have players up front. So it's good to see them at least building on the other side of the ball, too, while investing, you know, heavily into that offensive line, and obviously Jameis Winston with the number one overall pick.
Definitely. I mean, I love the Bucs defense. I think Gerald McCoy's stud. I think Levante David's really good. Werner's also another one who is on such a reasonable contract for the kind of production that he gives. There's talent on that defense. And Quan Alexander, yeah, you're right, because I remember when we started scouting him for the combine, I could have sworn he was at like 215, 218, 220. He was really, really skinny. And then now
very
he
light.
Looks bigger. Yeah, he looks a lot bigger now.
And I think that was what helped him transition fast into starter reps. When you look at him and, you know, in the draft process, like this is a guy that can come in and hopefully be a rotational backer, you know, for a team on third downs, maybe even a little bit second down just against passing, you know, passing formations. But he's a guy that's put on the weight, and he's looked good against the run. Even had a huge hit on McCown the other night. I mean, yeah, he stepped in right away, and it's been pretty impressive so far. I also have to say, and I know you love this guy, so I'd love to talk about him a little bit. Vic Beasley gave to Birkshaw Ferguson everything he had when the Jets played
that. Yes, he did.
And, you know, this is a guy that they said, hey, this guy can't be a power rusher. Well, guess what? He threw to Birkshaw Ferguson, you know, right back into the pocket play after play. So I think people were really wrong about that. He's going to be a stud, top 10 pass rusher probably in at least 2 years, maybe even sooner.
Yeah, Vic Beasley's a guy who, and Connor and I, if you read any of the stuff that we had on Turn on the Jets, we said he was one of those guys that could come in and right away just rush the passer. And now a lot of people said that he wasn't strong enough, he couldn't do that. And he gave the Birkshaw Ferguson the business. And you're talking about Ferguson, a guy who's been in the league now 11 years, who yes is on a decline, but is still a pretty good left tackle in this league. And Beasley went in there and just completely owned it repeatedly. And it wasn't just one play, it was over and over again. He set him up with the speed, and then he hit him with the power. And so it was interesting to watch that. I think Vic Beasley, yeah, I agree with you. I think he's going to be a stud in this league. And playing for Dan Quinn in that defense, and they started to rebuild that Falcons defense. They started to rebuild it slowly but surely. And I love Vic Beasley's fit on that defense. Who's a rookie that's disappointed you through the first three preseason games? So you thought it was going to be better, but it hasn't been that good.
Oh, man, it's pretty tough right now. I would say not really disappointed in the play himself, because I think he's been really impressive. I'm disappointed in what's been around him and just how they've, you know, failed to get him the ball a couple of times. It's Amari Cooper. I think Cooper has actually been a great rookie, one of the furthest ones along. But when you look at what's around him, the Derek Carr hype train got driven a little too fast. I think this is a guy that, hey, he could be a good quarterback down the road, but he wasn't really that good last year. And for whatever reason, people kind of assumed that he would take that next step right now. And if you watch their preseason games, Cooper is beating guys clean, like Patrick Peterson. And You know, Carr has gotten the ball a few times, but he's missed them plenty of times, and that's it's a disappointing situation, not a disappointing player, I would say. You know, going back to just, you know, overall disappointments, honestly, the rookie class has been relatively solid. It's early. You know, it's hard to really just bury a guy right away. The most disappointing thing, I think, has been injuries. It sucks that we don't get to see Dante Fowler play right now. You know, Jeff Hireman's another guy that was lost in OTAs for the Broncos. You know, that's just the more disappointing factors. It'll be easier to get a clean read on these guys, at least after a full year of play. You know, but like I said, back into the Bucs O-line, too, that's a unit that's got to improve really fast because they don't have a choice. They're playing right now.
Definitely, yeah. And you mentioned Ali Marpet, who I know Nolan was really, really high on as a guy that the Jets could have targeted. He's a guy who I think eventually he's going to be good, but he's being asked to play and produce right now, and he may – I don't think he's ready to do that just yet. I'll mention another one of our draft crushes, Marcus Peters. He had a really, really great pass broke him. He had an interception, too. He's looking the part of a shutdown corner for the Kansas City Chiefs. What are your thoughts on Marcus Peters so far?
Yeah, that's a great one to bring up. I mean, he's looked as advertised, a guy that likes to play on an island, a guy that likes to play in man coverage, and a guy that has no problem playing one-on-one with little safety help, very physical at the line, plays the ball extremely well, and he's shown it in the preseason. He's played like a number one corner. You know, granted, sometimes not against always this top competition, sometimes it has been, but the bottom line is right now, he's way ahead of the curve, and we always talk about rookie corners. These are guys that you're supposed to give at least 2 years really to get acclimated just because of how advanced, you know, NFL passing concepts are, how athletic number one and number two wide receivers are, and even number three sometimes. So, I mean, when you look at what Marcus Peters has done already, it, going back to your question before this, on, you know, the opposite side, what's disappointing has been Trey Waynes, the guy that was taken 11th overall by the Vikings. And once again, that rookie corner learning curve, he's shown it. And this is a guy that at college, you know, Bryce Petty even completed a lot of passes over him when they played Michigan State, played Baylor. So when you look at Waynes, he's a guy that's been disappointing just because he was taken ahead of Peters. And you talk to a lot of people based off talent. Sure, Peters had some question marks off the field, but everybody knew this guy was a top five player in the draft just physically. And, you know, one of the better corners we've seen in the last couple of years.
Absolutely, yeah. And Peters was a guy my big board, I had him in the top five. I thought that he was hands down. The gap between him and Trey Waynes was so bad that for me to see a respected former defensive coordinator and Mike Zimmer take Trey Waynes that high, I was definitely shocked. It was shocking for me. Let's jump into the Jets rookies because obviously, you know, we can't let you leave without discussing the Jets rookies. Leonard Williams, you know that he was the guy that I thought was the best player in the draft. He fell to six. The Jets take him. Hindsight is always 20/20, but obviously with Sheldon's issues and him facing the four-game suspension to start the season, now it seems like a brilliant pickup. What have been your thoughts on him so far?
Yeah, I mean, he's been as advertised, just like Marcus Peters. You know, I'm right there with you. I thought this guy was the best player in the draft. It was almost, you know, it was almost too easy sometimes watching him. When you look at him, he answered all the questions. A very productive athlete at USC, but he had the length, light on his feet, the size, the strength, and he's not even fully filled out yet. When you look at his upper body, he's probably weighing at about 307 right now. He could easily play at 315 and keep the speed with his lower power. You know, he wins with length, and he's a guy that he has a lot. He's way ahead of the curve when you look at pass rushing moves, and we've seen it very recently with Sheldon Richardson. First year, dominant against the run. Pass rush needs some work, but he did get there eventually. Second year, just absolutely excellent. And I think with Leonard Williams, the pass rushing moves that he showed right away, you know, he can swim and rip right through the interior of the line. They love getting him moving with stunts and twists, and he's taking advantage of it. And, you know, he's not healthy right now, but he said he's going to be ready for week one, and they need him right now because of what's going on their defensive line. So, I mean, it's great to see that a guy that's, you know, he's been productive right away. This is a franchise that's drafted guys, and they've waited and waited on production. When you go all the way back to Vernon Golston, you know, could never get a sack. And you look at Leonard Williams, it's like a sigh of relief in his second game that he had two sacks, a safety, three tackles for a loss. He's out there making plays, and he's held his own against the run. He's even said that, hey, you know, I got to get quicker at reading the run. He'll be fine, and that's not going to take very long. This is a guy that's going to, I think, be a very good player down the road for a long time to come.
Absolutely. We haven't gotten to see Devin Smith yet because, obviously, the broken rib, but they said that he should be ready week one, week two. What are your expectations for him this year? I know that he hasn't gotten much time with Fitzpatrick or with even Geno Smith, obviously, with Geno now being out. What are your expectations for Devin Smith going forward?
Yeah, they're pretty limited because, you know, you look at Devin Smith, and he was a very good route runner in college. That's a, you know, very, he's wrongly classified as a bad route runner. I've saw a couple of times, but, very, you know, he's a guy that's a vertical threat, and they have two guys that work the intermediate game very well, a three, really, when you count Curley, and then Decker and Marshall, obviously. And Devin Smith, they need him on this offense because they need a guy that can get downfield. But the bottom line is, do we think Brian Fitzpatrick is a guy that's going to be looking for that vertical threat often? I mean, he missed Brandon Marshall on the first drive against the Giants when Marshall cleanly had his man beat down the field. And you know what? Guys are going to miss. That happens. But at this stage of his career, I don't see Fitzpatrick as that guy. And also, Devin Smith's a rookie that just missed all of training camp. It's going to take some time. You know, around there, you're going to see him on the field. They're going to want him in packages. They're going to want him playing right away to at least stretch the field, take the safeties out of play.
Right.
But right now, you know, it's, I mean, I think maybe he catches 2 to 3 touchdowns, not a lot of yards, maybe a couple long catches, but this is a guy that they're going to need down the road and hopefully for their future quarterback or even when Geno's back, because we know Geno can throw down the field, but it's a matter of when he gets back on the field. So it's Devin Smith's got a little bit of a ways to go.
Absolutely. And now I'll touch on a guy that you you did the scouting report for Turner just last year, and you kind of talked about him all throughout preseason last year, and he didn't really become active until week 15. Didn't really do much, but he did show on – he did flash a little bit on such things. And now he's being used much more as a traditional H-back in Chan Gailey's offense. I'll talk about Quincy Anu. He's being – Fitzpatrick hit him on a really, really nice play-action rollout where Quincy caught it and turned upfield. What are your thoughts, and just in terms of fit and just what you can expect from him? Because he's clearly taken what we all thought was going to be Jason Morrow's role in the offense, and it could just be for preseason, but it does seem like it's for the foreseeable future. What are your expectations for Quincy filling that H-back role in Chan Gailey's offense?
I mean, it looks like he's got it locked down right now. This is somebody that we thought was a fringe player to make the roster, would really have to make noise, and overlooked in the fact is that the Jets don't have a tight end. Their only H-back was Morrow, and he's hurt. And Anunua has filled in nicely. He struggled a little bit blocking against the Falcons, and he got thrown back a couple of times. But against the Giants, he looked like a completely different player, and the player that he looked like in college. This was a team captain for Nebraska. This is a guy that was one of the better red zone wide receivers in college football. His final year at school, and he was a notorious hard nosed run blocker. Tons of big hits. I mean, you could search them. Just put Quincy Anunua in your Google or YouTube bar, and you'd be amazed. This guy hits like a safety, like a Cam Chancellor in the open field. It's just a matter that he plays offense, so the opportunities are limited. And now at the next level, we haven't seen the smash mouth blocking because he's actually blocking the big boys up front playing this H-back position, but he sealed the edge really nicely against the Giants and got Chris Ivory a bunch of extra yards. And back to your point, you know, the big thing he had to work on is just his receiving game between the 20s. That was the biggest question mark with Anunua coming in,
right,
you know, out of college, and he's starting to show it a little bit. I think the best part about Gailey is how he fits his players into the offense. You know, Anunua was never going to be Eric Decker or Brandon Marshall type player in between the 20s or even a Jeremy Curley, but you put him in the H-back role, and it, you know, the demands that you put on his shoulders are, you know, a little lowered. He just has to get open in the flats, catch the ball. He did pick up some yak, and that's what they needed to do. If he can be a decent blocker, a decent short yard, you know, target in the passing game, he's easily going to make the team and easily going to see probably 15 to 20% of snaps per game if he can, you know, hold down that role. And right now it's looking like that.
Con, thank you so much for joining me tonight. Tell everybody where to follow you, name the site, and give me a prediction for the Jets for this season now that we're about to enter the meaningless preseason game against the Eagles.
Yeah, Dio, thanks for having me on, man. It's always great. You guys can follow me at crodgers_NFL. I do think with the Jets this year, it's just a really tough situation with the quarterback. I have them pegged as a 6-7 win team. You know, it sucks to say that after all the offseason additions they made, but they'll take a step in the right direction under Todd Bowles and obviously Mike Maccagnan. I think Chan Gailey with the offense. Yeah, I think it'll be as positive as a season as they can have with, you know, obviously not a great win total, but going forward, I think they'll be all right. And, you know, it'll still be a good season. You know, if the win total is not there, then so be it. But the biggest thing with this team is the building blocks in the young cornerstone players, and I think they'll definitely take some strides.
Absolutely. Thank you, Con, so much for joining us tonight. Everybody follow Con at crodgers_NFL and at NYJDraft for all your draft needs. It's never too early. Don't be one of those guys that suddenly around – like January or February, you've seen enough YouTube highlights and you think you know what you're talking about. Follow him now so that way you can get familiar with a lot of these top prospects that the Jets will be taking next year. Con, thanks a lot, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Dio. Have a good one, brother.
You too. All right, and that was Connor Rogers. And now we are going to kick off Now we're going to kick off the fourth quarter. We're going to get right underway. We're going to go right to around the league, and we're joined once again by my brother Chris Osorio and Robin Sinclair. Now I'm going to drop. We're going to do this rapid fire, guys. I'm going to say one team from the AFC. Chris, you're going to take the AFC. Rob, you're going to take the NFC. I'm going to say the team's name. You're going to give me one hot take from that team. It could be a prediction for the season, something that nobody's expecting, a surprise cut, anything. But it has to be one sentence because we have 9 minutes to go. You guys ready?
Let's do it.
Yes, sir.
All right. All right, we're going to start with the AFC, Miami Dolphins.
Also, I'm AFC, right?
Yeah, you're AFC, Rob's NFC. Miami Dolphins.
I thought top five defense.
Dallas Cowboys.
Special.
New England Patriots.
They'll be in the AFC title game this year.
Philadelphia Eagles.
No, unpredictable.
That's a good one. Washington Redskins.
What? First pick in the draft.
Indianapolis Colts.
They'll also be in the AFC title game this year.
Denver Broncos.
Peyton Manning, it's over for him. It's going to look really bad for him this year.
Detroit Lions.
Matthew Stafford, it's all on you, man. We're waiting.
Pittsburgh Steelers.
One of the best offenses you'll see, but they won't have enough to finish the season.
Chicago Bears.
Cutler will get cut after this season.
Bold. Cincinnati Bengals.
Andy Dalton, it rides on you. Good quarterback, but can he go from good to great?
Minnesota Vikings.
Step in the right direction. AP rushes for a lot of yards. I think they missed a game, but they missed the playoffs by one game.
My fantasy team thanks you for the AP rushing for a ton of yards. Baltimore Ravens.
They're taking a very, very drastic step back. I think it's going to be pretty bad for them this year, too.
Green Bay Packers.
I actually think they're going to take a step backwards this year.
Bold. Okay.
Jordy Nelson hurts.
Okay. All right. Houston Texans.
They're going to be picking top 10 next year. No quarterback, no chance.
Atlanta Falcons.
So they're going to win the division.
Bold. I like it. Tennessee Titans.
Once again, I'm not a big believer in Mariota. I think he's going to be a big bust.
All right. Tampa Bay Bucks.
They'll be picking two in the 2016 draft.
All right. Jacksonville Jaguars.
Are they an AFC team?
That's an AFC team,
I mean,
yeah.
Sometimes I don't even know they're an NFL team. Like, that's what I have to say about that.
All right. New Orleans Saints.
Oh, man, New Orleans Saints. Let's see. Drew Brees, Brandon Cooks, shoddy defense. So they won't be in the playoffs.
Okay. We have the Cleveland Browns.
No quarterback, no chance. They don't even have a running back. I don't know what they're doing on offense. Somebody tell me.
There we go. Carolina Panthers. No, I'm talking about a team that I don't know what they're doing on offense. Carolina Panthers.
Can I get a tryout to play whiteout tomorrow? Because
there we go.
What's his name? What's his name? Dropped four passes in the preseason game. But go on.
Yeah. Kansas City Chiefs.
Dink and Dunk isn't going to get a dunk for them. Jerry Mack is going to be a big waste of money. They paid him like a number one receiver. He will not be a number one receiver in that offense.
Arizona Cardinals.
Arizona Cardinals. They will be in the playoffs, but I give them, for matter of fact, they'll make it to the NFC Championship game. I'll give them that much.
Bold. Okay. Oakland Raiders.
They're on the come up. Amari Cooper is a superstar. Book it. Amari Cooper, superstar.
Okay. Seattle Seahawks.
If they're not playing for the Super Bowl this year, it's a disappointment.
Agreed. San Diego Chargers.
Locking up Philip Rivers was a smart thing. Like the Melvin Gordon sign, good, decent wideout, decent defense. They're hit or miss. They're almost like the Chicago Bears of the West.
Same right? Story every year.
St. Louis Rams.
St. Louis Rams. 8-8. And I'm going to give them 8-8.
Jeff Fisher, the definition of mediocrity. All right, San Francisco 49ers. Rob, that's your team.
I love my boys, but no, we're picking top 10 in the draft.
Just so you guys know, and we'll come back to this in a couple months, the 49ers are going to have a winning season. Torrey Smith is going to have a huge year. Chris, the New York Giants.
We're going to be picking top 10 in the draft as well. We're getting ready for that. We're doing our research. But Eli Manning and Odell Beckham are going to keep great chemistry. Our defense is just too bad to overcome.
There you go. And lastly, the New York Jets. Either one of y'all can take that.
The New York Jets' defense will be great, but their offense will not be able to get out of their way.
And Robin said maybe 10 wins with Fitz, right?
Like I said, just keep it simple. They keep it simple. Can get 10. Keep it simple. Don't complicate it.
Guys, thank you very much for joining me on episode 5 of Jetstream Radio. I am, once again, D.A. Osorio.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you guys for joining me. Paulie will be back next week, hopefully not wearing a Tom Brady jersey. But we got one more week till we kick this damn thing off, fellas. Welcome back, NFL. Thank you guys for tuning in, and we'll see you guys next week.
All right, have a good one, guys.
Waiting in the hole if they test you. I sacrifice it all.